evening. We're here, Jubilee Midweek Service, and we're going. I've got some special guests. You might have already saw them, Larry and Melanie. They're going to Bigman. They head up our global prayer for the nations every Sunday, and they also take on a vision of the Heal Our Land. They were in an integral part of that whole outreach, and God's given them vision. And I believe there's going to be a super. I think it's probably a God thing. You know, when you walk with the Lord, everything seems to have a connection to the Lord and what he's doing in the sovereign sense of where we are. And I got bad news and I got great news. I'll tell you the bad news first. Bad news is basically all of California got parked into purple and the brakes went on and it's out to the parking lot. That's the governor's command. And since the pandemic and shutdowns, the Lord led us not to fight for our rights, but to find Christ. So rather than fight for the right to be together, whether someone wants us to or not, we just have flown with whatever's asked of us. And each time we have, God has surprised us. We've decided that every limitation is indeed an invitation to discover Jesus Christ, to come into him in a new way. So this Sunday, we are going to be in the parking lot. And it's going to be a nice day. And here's the great news. The Lord spoke to me, and you'll get it if you get our secret place. And if you don't, please go online and just click on it or go online to our website tomorrow, jubileechurch.org, and it'll be on the front page. It'll go out tomorrow, 6 a.m. But in that super blast, it's not going to be say secret place. It'll be a blast to get the people connected to this transition from inside the sanctuary back out to the parking lot. But the Lord spoke to me, and he came out of Hebrews 13. And if there's a scripture where it says that he, wanting to sanctify all of us, suffered outside the gate. Then it goes on to say, now let us follow after him so that we too can be with him outside the city and bear his reproach. Now that's in the context, it's huge, but it's a lifelong story of being believers. But for us right now, Lord, hit that as a joke to me. I mean, I don't know if God sometimes uses scripture to comfort me and also, you know, recollect my thinking. I'm kind of in the down. I'm all, gosh, wow, I do this again. I can't believe it. And he popped this visual of him being outside instead of being inside, and now we're going outside. But the word sanctified is a word, we just had sanctified ourselves as disciples on Sunday. Sovereign call to discipleship, again, renewing that place in Christ. In John 17, and I'm going to minister all this on Sunday, but there is a connection between sanctification and being sent. The good news is God is about to launch Jubilees in all over our cities. He's going to collect and equip and launch small groups so that we're not dependent on a sanctuary, but we're also ready to multiply once we can get back in the sanctuary. So that's Sunday morning. Wednesday night, next Wednesday, we've got an interesting thing we got to do. Wednesday nights, we aren't going to be opening the building anymore because it's just a simpler way to, we can't be outside, it's too cold. Tonight it's raining. Praise you, Jesus, it's raining. Yeah. So, but tomorrow, next Wednesday is our Thanksgiving service where we take testimony. So what I'd love for you to do is share your testimony. Write to just to jubilee@jubileechurch.org. A simple way to remember our email, jubilee@jubileechurch.org. And then send us the testimony. And the question is, or the testimony is, what I am thankful in Christ in 2020. 2020 has not been the year everybody's going to write back and say, well, I want to have another one of those. But in this year, we've all had some encounters to which we can really give thanks to God. And we want to share that. We'll read them. We'll bring some of you into the sanctuary as much as we're allowed to, and we will have a virtual Thanksgiving service, giving God praise and thanks. So that's next Wednesday. So get ready. We're on the move again. New things are coming. All kinds of things are happening. At the end of our conversation, we've got a video from our beach baptisms in September. You're going to love to be a part of that, and then we're going to worship. So prophetic again. Larry and Melanie Bingman oversee all of our nation's prayer, global prayer, and help in the Heal Our Land leadership. And in that season, they've had visions and encounters. So what we are in the middle of this kind of what everybody we call shutdown, they keep growing the sound of Jubilee and the vision of salvation and nations. And I believe tonight's a perfect night for us to hear this story and to get into this imagery, because if I've learned anything about God is he limits my external comfort and he releases my eternal opportunity. He breaks open new things. So let's get into this. And Larry, Melanie, welcome. We're so glad to have you guys.
Thank you for having us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Now tell me for a second, I'm going to get him his mic. Tell me, because we got to do a mic switch. Melanie, you have a unique way of praying for nations. Can you give us a vision how that happens? What do you do?
Yes. Yes, the Lord has really put it on my heart to speak his word and what he says over the nations. And he has just put this love of the nations in my heart. And it's from him. It's his love of the nations. And he's just revealed to me so much about how he wants all of the nations to come into the kingdom and all of the people around the world to
Here's
come
your
into
mic
the
back.
Kingdom.
Thank you. So you look at
so
the nation
precious.
Like a person.
Yes.
You can see a whole nation as an individual with a calling.
Absolutely, Pastor Steve. That's the way that the Lord has really ministered to me with this love of the nations, is the nation, the glory of the nations that is going to come into Revelation 21.
Okay.
The glory of the nations that will be brought into the New Jerusalem is really the hearts of the people in those nations, and the love that Jesus has for those people, and then the love that they have back to Jesus. So it's really a love offering. This is what the Lord has put on my heart in regards to the nations. It's a love offering, a love exchange between Jesus, who knit their hearts together in their mother's womb.
Yeah.
And when he did that, he showed me, he talked to me about that. He said, you know, what do you think that means when I said that I knit their hearts together in their mother's womb? Well, it's by hand. It was by hand that he knit them with love and with destiny and with thought and plan and a hope and a purpose for them. And he wove all of that into their being. And that's the glory that he sees in the nation. There's a lot of glory in the nations, but this is one of the aspects of the glory in the nations, is the hearts of the people and the love and the joy that he takes in them.
Now we went into this virtual services and our prayer for the nations just exploded. Tell us what we are doing. So if somebody hasn't been a part of Prayer for the Nation, what happens on a Sunday?
Yeah, every Sunday, it's such a blessing. And you bring up a great point, Pastor Steve. This all happened as a result of the shutdown.
Yeah.
And Larry and I, on that very first Sunday, the Saturday beforehand, we really pondered, you know, sought the Lord. How are we going to do this nation's prayer? And we came to the church, and the flag altars had all been set up. They were over there at that time. And we really sought the Lord. And he revealed to us that he wanted us to pray over every region specifically and the nations in those regions that we had selected, and that he wanted us to speak scripture. So what he really put on our heart was he wanted us to speak his word and his truth and his report over the nations, and to pray over every region specifically, not to leave any region behind.
Well, that's his heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And instead of just looking at circumstances and all of that, he wanted us to hear from heaven and speak what he sees as the destiny of each nation. We've continued to do that now for 8 months. Wow, it's been 8 months.
8 months.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, I'm wondering, I'm going to ask you, is there a way we can walk over, turn some lights on, and you guys could introduce us to the Wall of Nations?
Absolutely. We would love to do that.
I think that would be just a viable. I love it. I love what we've done. We used to have the flags all around the perimeter of the entire sanctuary. So that was how we, and we had them in a kind of geographical continent collection. Now we've got them all focused into a wall. And we have these altars, four altars, where you have the nations that you're we're praying for. So whenever I know we can do it, and we've got to get the cameras removing, we want to get over there. But Larry, you had a vision right at the healing of our land, or a dream with the king.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. I was praying, and obviously, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to speak over South America? And he gave me one word, harvest. And I love about the harvest. And he said it to me in Spanish, cosecha. And so I began to pray about that. And it's like midnight. And so I got up, and she's asleep, and I get up. And the scriptures that talk about the healing for the nations, the leaves. Now, this is just a natural leaf. But if you've got 1,000 of these leaves, if it's raining outside, you'd be completely covered by this kind of leaf. And there are trees across the world that have 3-foot leaves. This is a big, big leaf
in
the state of California. That's a 12-inch leaf. And I said, Lord, tell me about the healing for the nation. I know that's not just a metaphor. So he said, the body of Christ is the leaves of the trees. And all of a sudden, scriptures just began to flood through my soul, like in Ezekiel 47, where it talks about the river of life, a river coming out of the sanctuary. And that takes you right to the scripture about the leaves of the tree of the life for healing for the nation. Mm-hmm. That's Revelation 22.
Yes.
So he began to develop that. So as I wrote to you for your getting ready to go to Washington, D.C., I spent basically the entire night looking up scripture. Oh, yeah, that looks good. Oh, Lord, I love that. Praise you, Jesus. And so he led me down a path scripturally, because metaphors are nice, but I have found that everything Jesus said in the scriptures are real. In heaven, leaves are living. This is a dead leaf because I took it off the tree. But everything is living in heaven. He wants everything to be living here. So the metaphors, although we understand them, become more life to us as we are revealed by the Spirit of God. So the vision was basically how the leaves of the trees will heal the nations. And as I have developed this message, it's the body of Christ is the leaves of the tree. Mm. And I can go into that further in a few minutes.
Yeah, well, that's a good metaphor, just as we are the branches of the vine.
Yes, exactly.
And
right.
Through the vine, we then are able to bear the fruit of the vine. So
where the leaves come from.
Yeah.
They don't come from the body of the tree. They come from the branches.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
fruit comes where the leaves are. The similarities are so poignant in the Word of God. Take that out of John 15.
Now, before we go over, I want to ask you this question. We were forced into a whole different paradigm into prayer for the nations. And because of the limitation we could have in the sanctuary, you just stepped in. We got more people joining us online, different places. How have these nations been knit into your heart?
It's really just been a beautiful love affair with Jesus, a beautiful time of, like I said, seeking the Lord, but hearing his heart for the nations and the people of the nations. And he's revealed to me so much about how he loves every person, even the people that we think maybe he doesn't love, or the people that are persecuting, or that maybe aren't living in the perfect will of God, that some folks may say, well, you know, God doesn't have a plan for them because they're living outside of the will of God. But the Lord loves those people, and he wants them. He's really just shown me how he wants to shine his light upon the lost lambs of the world. And he wants to use us to shine that light. Yeah. And he's shown me the authority that we have in the courtroom of heaven to speak that light over the lost people, to speak his light and his truth over the hurting people and the people who are doing the hurting. All of the people around the world, he has a special, unique plan for. And it's just been so much of his love that he's revealed to me.
Wow. Okay, are we good? I want you to take us over and introduce everybody again to the nations. Those in the sanctuary, you're welcome to come behind and follow and we're going to learn how to pray for nations.
Hallelujah. So
we're headed over here.
Hallelujah. We love to pray over the nations.
We do.
This wall of flags was such a blessing to us, Pastor Steve, because for a while the flags were in a storage room.
Yeah.
And Larry and I kept feeling in the spirit that we wanted the flags to be up on the wall on display.
Yeah. So how did you put the flags on the wall? So these are the flags that all of the nations of the world. And they're just randomly, or do you know where they all are?
Yeah, we basically know where they're at. We started the way we pray every Sunday morning with the Middle East, Asia, Eurasia, Europe, the islands, Africa. Biggest group is Africa and the Americas. Now, and we recognize some of these flags because we've touched them and prayed over them, and our hearts are so knit. This is Scotland.
Scotland.
We just got this new flag. It's exactly the perfect flag for Scotland. And then we have, I'm trying to find Georgia because we just prayed over your nation.
Yeah, yeah. That might still be up.
It must be.
How about this one?
It was right there. Yeah.
San Marino.
Oh, yeah, San Marino.
This is such a beautiful flag because the imagery so reflects the plan that Jesus has for this nation and the people of this nation. You can see the crown of glory on top. Yeah. So Psalm 103 says that he beautifies, dignifies, and crowns us with his loving kindness and his tender mercies. And this crown represents that loving kindness and tender mercy.
And then this is a trinity of towers.
Yes, he is our strong tower.
And
amen.
Then liberty, that's freedom.
Yep.
And so this whole thing with the olive branches, which is peace, and this, why they chose this flag, I don't know. But we see this in the flag, the redemptive power, the redemptive destiny of San Marino.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So you now have, go ahead.
I was going to point out Macedonia.
This
is such a prophetic flag because the call to Macedonia is this beautiful sunburst of the glory of God. This is the glory of the Lord shining upon the earth. And what a perfect image for the Macedonia flag.
We have this flag in our home.
We do.
Certain flags we have bought and put into our own home. So our home is full of flags.
Yes.
Not this full. These are all the flags.
Well, take us over to Georgia because you're...
Yes.
These are the altars, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And we're
Georgia's right over here.
Yes, right here.
So these altars, okay.
This flag here is Georgia. This is your nation,
right.
Pastor
Steve.
Right,
this is my nation. I pulled up the shirt.
And this is such a perfect flag because it was selected by the nation because they wanted revival in their nation.
Yes.
So this was specifically designed for revival.
Yes.
So, and it was chosen to replace their prior flag.
Yeah.
And so we see this as a first fruit of nations that are calling for revival and that are responding to Jesus' call to come. Jesus is calling out to the nations, come unto me.
Yeah.
And then the nations are responding back saying, yes, here we are. And it's the body of Christ that is responding. And it's these nations that are making these choices to stand for God and to reflect their imagery on their flag for Jesus that is just going to be a drawing of other nations to come to the Lord.
Now, I was thinking, 21 years ago, we placed all the flags around the sanctuary. And it was like just going to be because we wanted to lay hold of the house and prayer for nations. First thing, I know Julie Anderson said, this is going to bring a whole lot of warfare into your sanctuary. And like that flag, like you're touching it with endearment, and then it also Amen. Carries its pain and its history. Yeah. After about a year, the Lord said, I didn't bring those in for decoration. They are meant Hallelujah. To be for intercession.
Yeah. Yes.
So we started taking nations, like these nations, how we do, every month. And this now, we have just entered into the 20th first year of praying, handling, touching, loving, declaring, and decreeing. So
that's beautiful.
I want us to go back over and talk about how does anyone, especially those of us who feel our lives overwhelmed, and how do you pick a nation up? I mean, isn't that kind of complicated? Let's get into some of that.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jesus.
Right. Absolutely.
Thank you, guys. These guys are awesome. They do. I didn't tell anybody about it. I just thought, oh, this is a great idea.
It was a very good idea. We've got the props right there.
That's right.
Well, why not? Because it's part of it.
And like we said, the flags to us represent the love that Jesus has for each of the nations and the destiny that he has. And so, you know, you asked a great question, Pastor Steve, in terms of how do you pick a nation and how do you pray over the nation? Well, the Lord puts nations on our hearts is one way to seek him and to ask him, what nation do you have for me? What nation do you want me to hold in my heart? Another way is by looking at what we're praying over our own lives. So, for example, what are we praying for ourselves for? Okay. Like one thing that I pray over myself every day is Psalm 103, that he fills our mouth with good and that he covers us with beauty and loving kindness and tender mercy, and that he heals us of every disease and redeems our life from the pit and corruption. And so if there's something that you're praying specifically over yourself, a really great way to start is to seek the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, what nations do you want me to carry that same prayer for? What nations need that loving kindness and tender mercy? I mean, they all do, but each in a unique way.
That's great, because it's kind of like when we went to heal our land and we had that from Israel. We had, how do you pray for Israel? And one of the examples was like you pray for your family.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah,
there's troubled ones. There's disconnection. There's conflict. Pray into them, but take it not a large group, but take it into a smaller setting. So what have you found in that by praying for a nation as you would over yourself or as a person?
The Lord has just expanded it so much for me. And what he's shown me, as I said earlier, is that he has this heart for every unique person in each of these nations, and also different people groups he's also put on my heart. And the destiny that he has for them and the longing that he has in his heart for the lost lambs of the world, the people who are crying out. You know, there are people crying out all over the world in every nation for different things, for peace, for freedom, for justice, for making up for the past, for bringing families together, Pastor Steve, like you were just saying, reconciliation, provision, abundance, his glory. You know, we're all crying out for something. And different people can cry out to different things. They're maybe crying out to darkness or to idol worship or to just fear. And the Lord says, those are my people, and I love them, and I want them to come to me. And what I cry out to the Lord on their behalf is that, Lord, they're really crying out to you, even though they may not know it. They're crying out for an answer, and you are the answer. They may think that revenge is the answer, or payback is the answer, or looking to another source is the answer. But Jesus is the answer that they're crying out for. And I used to be one of those people, Pastor Steve, that was crying out for an answer, and I didn't know it was Jesus. But now that I have Jesus in my life, I now can say, honestly, I was really crying out for Jesus. I just didn't know it. And the Lord has said to me, well, isn't everybody else doing the same thing? The people who are looking for darkness and who are looking for revenge and holding on to resentments and holding on to unforgiveness, they're really crying out for Jesus. And that's the heart that the Lord has given me in terms of interceding for them and prophesying over them. So I come, when I pray, the Lord's really getting me up at night, in the middle of the night to pray and spend time with him and fellowship with him. And he's having me go into the court of heaven as Esther did.
Okay.
And to speak on behalf of the hurting people of the world. And sometimes it's people in specific nations, but other times it's specific people. Just people, groups that maybe span across nations. And the Lord has put it on my heart that he wants them. He wants them, and he has given each one of them a destiny and a plan and a hope in Jesus' name.
Wow. I'm thinking of the scripture, ask of me, Jesus, you know, the Lord Jesus comes and out of the abyss into his kingdom, and he's told, I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me. Ask, you are my son today, I've begotten you. Ask of me, and I'll give you the nations.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
For your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. So being the part of the body of Christ, you're helping fulfill that prayer.
Absolutely. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I love that. That's such a blessing. It's such a blessing what the Lord is doing in the body.
Yeah. So Larry, go on.
I want to give a, for instance, the conflict between Armenia and Azerbaijan is a very real conflict. And we've had requests for it several times, but it's really kind of gotten our hearts. And I looked at Azerbaijan, which is basically an Islamic country, and Armenia is basically a Christian country. And it's a Christian country that's been in Christ almost since its foundation. For about 2,000 years, they've had Jesus. And so I have this heart, but this conflict between the two nations. So I've been praying for them. So we switched, and I've watched recently that Azerbaijan has rejected the radical Islamic move from Iran, and they're moving towards talking with Israel in peace talks. Now, that's unheard of for Azerbaijan. And so now we've been praying. So last week, I had an Uber ride, and my Uber driver was from Armenia. And I said, Armenia, I love Armenia. Oh, my goodness. I've been praying for you. And I speak life and healing and hope and peace to you and Azerbaijan. Oh, they're really, I said, they're going to love you. You're going to be coming together as one nation because Jesus loves you. You keep praying for Azerbaijan, and you'll find that the war will stop, and you will find that you become connected to them by the body that's in Christ Jesus. Now, I wouldn't have done that a year ago, but because of our nation's prayer, my heart has been changed toward a Islamic country and a Christian country that have been at war for a long, long time. But Jesus are knitting our hearts with their hearts, and we will see peace come between those two nations right now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, he's given us so much compassion as well. He's really increased the compassion that he feels for the hurting people of the world.
Yeah.
And he's spoken to me about that. I have conversations with him when I spend my time in fellowship. Sometimes I'm praying. Sometimes I'm in the courtroom of heaven, like I mentioned. And other times, even in the same session, I'll then turn it into a conversation and just talk to him about the people of the world and the nations and his heart. And he spoke to me about two stories in the Bible as a way to show his compassion and the way that he receives people in when he was ministering here on earth. And one of them was the woman with the issue of blood. So he spoke to me about her, and he said, you know, the woman with the issue of blood, she came to me and she was in a setting where she was a complete outcast, and she wasn't even really allowed to be out there looking for me. But she came to me, and I received her with compassion and love, and mm-hmm. I healed her, and I forgave her, and I transfigured her heart. But he said to me, you know, how do you think she got that disease? How do you think she had the issue of blood? And he said, you know, think about it in a modern day world. If she was a woman with the issue of blood today, maybe she might have something like hepatitis C, or maybe she might have another blood disorder that we might associate with, you know, drug use or a different thing that we've done ourselves. And we might think in the natural, well, you know, what did you do to get this blood disorder? And well, maybe you shouldn't have been doing that. And how did this happen? And how did you find yourself here? But what Jesus said was, I didn't meet her that way at all. I met her with love and compassion and openness, and I released my healing upon her. And he knew that she was coming after him that day. Jesus was not surprised by anyone who approached him. And so he knew that she was going to be there. He knew that she was seeking him. And when she touched him, he stopped and he said, you know, who touched me? Obviously, he knew the answer to that question. But he said, you know, I felt virtue leaving my body. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, how do you think that made her feel when she heard me say that?
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, Lord, because other people were saying to her, ooh, you're filthy, you're disgusting, get away from me. What did you do? Look at how you led your life. You totally deserve what you got. But Jesus said, I felt virtue leaving my body.
Yeah.
And he brought her unto himself, and he had a whole conversation with her where he said, you know, I love you. You are my precious creation. You are my daughter, and I have compassion for you, and I feel for you, and I want you healed. And he healed her. Suddenly, she just felt the healing immediately, and the blood dried up, and she was healed. And the Lord said, that's how I received her. And he just showed me the distinction between how the world receives people and how he does. And it just really helped build this compassion in my heart for the out, you know, people who we might think of as outcasts or the people that maybe don't feel like they belong in the world.
Wow. That's so by praying for nations and opening your heart, saying, I want a heart for nations, and conversations like, God, how, Father, how do you see the nations? Jesus, what is your approach? Your heart's growing. It's increasing the capacity to carry nations.
Yes, absolutely. And that's just
how
the
would somebody
blessing
how
of God.
How does anybody get there? give us a start. Like you started, I mean, how do we follow the Lord into that enlarged heart?
Oh my goodness. Well, it's the first thing I'll say is it's a joy to get to do. And you've talked about this a lot, Pastor Steve. A lot of it starts with time, giving the Lord time. And when I first started giving the Lord time, I was giving him little bits and pieces of time because that's really all that I could pull together at that point in my journey with him. And I started giving him more time. I started to just find so much delight in it. And I feel like if you're just getting started, if you want a deeper relationship with Jesus, and maybe it feels overwhelming, to spend time, even just a little bit, but really let him into your heart and let him transfigure your heart. It's really a time of listening and letting him in, but also feeling what he is putting in your heart and letting him minister to you and finding delight in it. Then I just found myself giving more and more time to him and seeking him more and more. He gave me a word years back, actually, that He wants the first track in our mind. He wants us to be thinking about him and talking to him, and we can have conversations with him all throughout the day. Yeah. He said to me one time, just kind of randomly, I was driving down the road and just thinking about different things. I was driving and paying attention to driving, but I was also thinking about the errands I needed to do and the meetings tomorrow and the work I still had to finish up and just all of these thoughts.
Yeah, sure.
And the Lord said to me, you know, why do you think you can think about all of these things all at the same time? And I was like, whoa. And he said, I gave you that capability so that you could put me first. I want you to always be thinking of me and conversing with me and talking with me because I love you and I want to be a part of your daily life. And so it was really just an evolution of like giving him bits and pieces of time, but then expanding it. And now it's evolved into times where he's now waking me up in the middle of the night because my work day doesn't allow for a lot of time. So I'm spending time with him in the middle of the night and just talking to him. So like you said, Pastor Steve, just asking him, Lord, what would you have me pray tonight? What do you want to talk to me about tonight? And I always love to start with praising him and thanking him. You know, Lord, I just thank you that you've woken me up. Lord, I thank you that you want this time with me. And I thank you that you have a plan for me. And I want to speak with you. I want to talk with you. I want to converse and have this relationship with you. I asked him specifically for a heart to seek him and to love him. And that's really what he's given me. And he'll do the same thing for you. I always say that to people. If he's done it for me, he'll do the same thing for you. All we have to do is just ask and seek and look to him as the lover of our hearts.
And I love the part you said, and give time. Start with what time you can afford until the time grows that you need more. And
exactly.
Then you're the one seeking to have
yes.
more.
It's true.
Such a different place than when you feel like you
Very
have
different.
To do something for, you know, and it feels like a chore.
Yeah. But it's very different, and it feels like such a loving time now, and I don't always want to get up in the middle of the night, so sometimes I wake up, and I think, oh, Lord, I'm tired. I want to go back to sleep, and I'll try to fall back asleep, but the Lord, he just is like, keeps talking to me, and it's finally like, okay, Lord, I'll get up and talk to you, because trying to lie here and fall asleep isn't being very fruitful, and I feel that tug in my heart. So I'll get up and I'll just, again, start that conversation, you know, thanking him and asking him, Lord, what would you have me pray over? Sometimes before he wakes me up, he'll give me a dream. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's what he wants me to pray over. Okay. So sometimes I'll just approach the courtroom of heaven right away and just start prophesying that and decreeing that. You know, he's really shown me the authority that we have in that courtroom, because what he's shown me is the accuser is making accusations against these people, against nations, against people, against leaders, against people doing the harm in the world. And the enemy is saying, well, look at what they're doing. Look, look, look. But the Lord said to me, who's going to stand up and say what I say about those people? Who's going to stand up and say, but wait a minute, that's my creation. I created that person, and I love that person, and I knit my love for that person in their heart, and I planned a whole destiny for that person of greatness and serving me and calling for my glory. Who's going to say that in the courtroom of heaven? And he wants us to take that position with him. He wants us to partner with him. And that is just such a loving father who does that.
Yeah.
You know, he's shown me, like, he uses Larry as a great example a lot of times. And Larry's such a wonderful father. And he has six kids. I married into six kids and grandkids and just a wonderful family.
Yeah.
But his children, especially his daughters, he loves his daughters, and they love him as their father, and they send him texts when they want advice. They send him texts when they're feeling down, and they say, Dad, I need a scripture. Dad, would you pray for me? Dad, I'm hurting. I need your guidance. And the Lord said to me, you know, I love it when you do that.
Amen.
I love it when my children, You know, if Larry loves it, and I see how much it warms his heart, if Larry loves it, how much more do you think I love it? Because I created them. And he wants us to join in that partnership of calling forth his word. And he doesn't need us, because he could say a word and make everything happen. But he wants us to be a part of that journey. He was just talking to me about this today. He showed me just a son and his father going fishing. And he said, you know, the father delights when the son wants to go fishing. He's like, oh, this makes the fishing trip so much better with my son. Look, my son's coming with me. It's like a bragging right. My son's here. Yay, we get to go and do this together. Look at what we're doing. And Jesus said, how much more do you think I love it when my children come to me and want to join in what I'm doing and want to agree with me and want to speak my words back to me? It's what he wants for us as the body of Christ.
I want to ask you one more question before I go up to Larry, because the way you're describing your conversation with the Lord, the Father, Jesus, whoever's speaking, it'd be easy to think that he's just saying all these words, you know, into the atmosphere, and you're hearing them, and it's as though you're just like, you've got this really hotline to heaven. But it didn't start that way, and it isn't really. You have the confidence to express what you're experiencing in words, but how did you start? How did you grow confidence that the Lord speaking to you?
Well, it started, I mean, it's a great question, Pastor Steve. It started when I first came to the Lord. I came to the Lord later in life. Larry came to the Lord when he was a 7-year-old little boy. I came to the Lord when I was 50. Very different circumstances. But what the Lord showed me when he brought me to him was right away he started talking to me about his destiny for me. And I'll share this one story with you, Pastor Steve, because it'll kind of set the foundation for how it started. And when I first came to the Lord, I was alone. I wasn't coming to Jubilee. My church was my television. I was really drawn to the Lord through Christian television. And so I would watch programming, and I ordered a Bible, and I would read the Bible, and I would talk to the Lord all by myself. There wasn't anybody else to talk to. Right. And so it really started there with just me being alone in my apartment, reading the scriptures, talking to the Lord, thanking him that he saved me. And this one experience that I had, and I had a lot of encounters with the Lord at that time because we did just develop this intimate relationship. And I was getting ready for my day, and I was talking to the Lord about my childhood. And I had a lot of sadness in my childhood. I had a lot of just sadness and loneliness and darkness. And I was talking to the Lord about it. I'm like, Lord, you know, why did I experience that? Like, why didn't I come to you sooner? Why didn't I invite you in sooner? And he showed me an image of me as a little baby, like a little baby crying. And I heard from my mother that I cried a lot when I was a little baby. And so he showed that to me, and I was like, Lord, why was I crying? And he said, well, you know what? He said, you and I were speaking to each other. And I was like, whoa, really? And I knew about tongues because I had read about it and had heard about it on the programming that I was watching. And he said, you and I were speaking to each other, and we were having conversations. So you may think you were crying, but we were really talking. And I was like, really? And I was blown away by that. And I felt in my spirit that there would be a psalm about it. So I said, Lord, show me a psalm that shows me what we were saying to each other, because I want to know what were we saying. And I opened my Bible. Of course, I have my phone Bible, but I had my hardcover Bible. And I opened my Bible and I said, Lord, show me a psalm that will reflect what we were speaking to each other. And I opened it right up to Psalm 40. And Psalm 40 was the perfect answer to that question. So I knew it was the Lord right away, because it said, I waited patiently on the Lord and he responded. And that's what the Lord showed me, was like I was crying out to him as a baby and he was responding back to me, and we were having a conversation. And then the Lord gave me promises. He put a new song in my heart. He set my foot on a rock. He redeemed my life. He set me on solid ground. And then it switches to I. David wrote the psalm. Then I stepped into the book that was written of me, and I delight to do your will. So it was like promises back and forth, where the Lord was putting his promises and destiny to me, and then I was repeating back to him, Lord, here I am. Use me. And I was crying out to him, you know, don't leave me. Don't leave me, because I didn't want to be left in that situation. And he promised me at that time, I will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. And so that really built, just from that encounter, just built my confidence that he was speaking to me and that he did have a plan and a destiny for me. And a lot of times, like you've even talked about this before, Pastor Steve, sometimes it's our own voices. Like you said, sometimes when I'm talking to the Lord, it's me talking both roles. I'm speaking and then God's speaking and then I'm speaking and then Jesus is speaking. But I do have that confidence that it's coming from him, because first of all, I would never have known to say the things that he's saying to me, but also there's scriptures to back them up.
I love that. And that's what I want to go to Larry on, is that the power of God's word isn't just information. It's actually the conversation. And if you can, when you can hear the voice of God in the scripture, or when having heard the voice of God, find it in the scripture, and you just say, okay, then that's for me. Something really does lock in, like the promises.
Yes.
And you, so when you heard about the healing of the land, you started looking in the scriptures, or?
Yeah. As she, over the years, Jesus usually talks to me by the Word of God. When I first came, when I first got Spirit filled, I spent 4 or 5 hours every night. My wife at that time worked nights, and I would, and the kids were asleep. So I'd spend 4 to 5 hours to midnight to when she got home. And you do that, that will transform your brain, that will transform your heart. And so I got so used to hearing his voice by come follow me, by open your heart, by scripture, you're my sheep and my sheep hear my voice. I don't doubt that I don't hear his voice, because Jesus said that. Didn't I tell you if you believe, you see the glory of God? That's John 11:40. I've shared that with you several times last year. We will see the glory of God if we believe. How, why do I know that? Because the Bible says that. And as you have said so many times, Pastor Steve, when you can't hear, when you're not feeling any good feeling, the Word of God is constant. You can always go to the Word, and says, Jesus loves me.
Yeah.
He's called me from beginning the foundation of earth. In Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 4, I had my biggest major encounter with Jesus was 2016 in a room that held about 5 people in this hotel room next to the Church of Christ auditorium. And the Father came and sat down at the bed next to me at 4 a.m. And I woke up, and I know it wasn't the Holy Spirit. I know it wasn't Jesus. It was Father. Father's never, I think I can get through that. Father's never visited me like this before. And he spoke to me. And he said, I chose you. I chose you from before the foundation of the world. Now, all that sounds cool. No, that's a big deal to me. I was a little guy when I was young, and I love sports. I always want to be chosen. Here I am, choose me. I always got chosen. If I got chosen at all, I got chosen last. Mm. And Father says, I chose you first, son. You're the first choice on my team. Well, I'm a minister. and I want to be on Jesus' team. And it so impacted me. He talked to me for about 2 hours. And that next day, I was preaching at the big church in Bangkok. And I just exploded. They said, "What happened to Larry?" Oh, I just exploded with the joy and the love and the peace of God, because Jesus, Father, came into my room and said, "I chose you, son." Now, how do I know that? Because he said, Ephesians 1, verse 4. Else, I wouldn't have the courage to believe that. There are things in the Word of God we don't have the courage to believe unless it's written down.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the goodness of God is so magnificent, so amazing, that it takes Scripture to prove that it's real. Because there are times we don't feel like it. In the midst of sorrow, and you've been through some sorrow with me, in the midst of that, particularly 6 years ago, he said, rise up, run the race set before you. And I got to preach that here that day after she died, after she was declared dead in the hospital. And you asked me, you and Cammie came to the hospital that day and said, "Larry, you don't have to preach. You've been scheduled for like 3 months." And I said, "No, I want to go. I need to do this." And that was a big deal, because the Word of God was in my heart. My heart was broken.
But the
Word of God is way beyond a broken heart. It is. And so I've seen that over and over and over again in the years that we've been ministering. And all kind of stuff have happened. But the Word of God is true, and the Word of God is real, and the Word of God holds us as Jesus holds us in his hand. So I highly recommend, if you want to encounter Jesus, get in the book, because he wrote the book. We were in, Carlos and I were in the city of Huanchaco, Peru, and I remember I said, "Jesus is the book. If you want Christ in your life, come to the book. His name is Jesucristo, Benacristo, Benacristo." And we had like 400 people come to Jesus that night. So over the years, we've seen the Word of God operate in fullness of the revelation that I have ever had. So the Word of God is a major, major way that he directs my life.
So we're going to kind of transition now, because we'll be going into the worship and get our offering. And I want to show the video of the beach baptisms that happened on September. But what you're talking about is this: the Word of God will heal a heart, will reframe a journey. It will give us confidence. Yes. It will go back into the past of our life and call us into the future God's given us. And it will do it for a nation. And it will do it for a neighbor.
Yes.
If we can allow our faith to grow.
Absolutely. The Word of God is a living word.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that he is watchful to perform his word.
Yes. Yeah.
And he is faithful to perform his word. And he will hasten his word to perform it. And we have to believe that, because the Bible says, but also because our Father is so faithful to us. And sometimes circumstances make it look like he's not faithful.
Yep.
Like Larry's example is such a beautiful example. I mean, he lost 2 wives before we came together, and there were times in his life where he could easily have thought, "Well, God's not faithful to me. Look at what just happened." But going back to that word and standing on the word that, "Lord, you are faithful.
Yes.
Lord, you do have a plan for good for me.
Amen.
Lord, you will see me through this darkness, because you promised and because you love me and because you are my Father." Sometimes we have to say it to ourselves to believe it and to comfort our own hearts and to get that posture of faith once again. But the word is true, and there's so many examples of it that we can look to. And that's what the Lord has, going back to the nation's prayer, that's what the Lord has put on our hearts, is to really ground it in the Word of God and to speak specific scriptures over specific parts of the world to activate the will of God, to activate his performing that word.
Well, I want to just speak to our to everybody to give and to be a part of the giving, because that's become more so than ever. Do we need to know that the Lord is keeping us, holding us, being faithful? It's honoring the Lord with our tithe, our offering, giving the first fruits right away, responding and doing that. It can take you through a pandemic, and God gave us a decree that we would come out of the crisis in health and in wealth, and it may get wobbly at a moment or two, but we can just say no. We're going to stand in agreement. We are in a new change. Again, here we are in purple. The church is going to have to meet in the parking lot this coming Sunday. And you say, well, you don't have to do that. Yeah, the Lord told us to just follow these guidelines that are being presented, because COVID-19 is going under our feet. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
And right now, we're looking to encounter the Lord in the midst of limitations. But it isn't limit God's ability to touch us, heal us, send us, bless us, prosper us. And I want to thank everybody. Please stay, keep your faith engaged in your future, in your health, in your wealth. Keep your prayer life alive. Get the Word of God. To be a disciple is to pray, but it's first and foremost, Jesus said, abide in my word and you will know, you will be my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. Then he said, abide in my love, and I give you a commandment to love as I have loved you, and so the world will know that you are my disciples. So evangelism. Then he says, abide in me and let my words abide in you. You'll ask what you desire and it will be done for you. And herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will again be my disciples. So this place in Christ is something we nurture, we hold while God supports. We connect like the branch to the vine, but the life flows from the vine. I want to ask you guys to pray over that. Then you can go online, you can use the Tithely app, you can send in the mail, jubileechurch.org. That's how to find us on the email. Otherwise, P.O. Box 777, Camarillo, California, 93011. And people drop it off still at the building. That's a precious endearment. Thank you so much, everybody in the building. You know, we got some buckets on the side. I'm so sorry that Wednesday nights are going to go to virtual Wednesdays for a bit, but it's not going to be for long. And we're going to have testimonies for Thanksgiving, how the Lord has met us in our season of upheaval of 2020, what we can be thankful in the midst of 2020, and we're going to send it to Jubilee at jubileechurch.org. Send your testimony. We'll read them. We'll have a few people come, and we'll just share, and we'll celebrate, and we'll declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So we've got a video that will go for 5 minutes, and we're going to go, as soon as you two pray, I want you to pray a blessing over the giving and over the hearts to receive. And then the video will go into the baptisms that we did, that'll just stir you. It just was produced today. And then we'll go into worship. Worship is the part where we now respond and say, Lord, I've heard a lot, but I want to connect with you where you're at. I want to engage, and I want to let the word find its expression, and I want to make the exchange. And so let worship be that marinating and that place of agreement and the place of fresh surrender and all the other parts that God's doing. So blessings, Larry and Melanie. It has been awesome. I mean, I think God is just inspired. I'm so grateful that over all of the years we keep growing with the Lord in his call for the nations. And so would you pray a blessing over the offering and over our hearts, and then we'll go into the video.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for having us, Pastor Steve. Lord, we ask that you bless our giving tonight. We ask that you give us hearts to give to you, Lord, provision, to give our offering, our tithe, but also to give our hearts to you, Lord, in a whole new way. And Lord, you said that you would open the windows of heaven when we bring you our tithe, that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour blessing out upon us so big that we can't even contain it. And Lord, we are asking for an outpouring of your love,
yes,
and your heart and your peace and your forgiveness. We are asking that you give us hearts to forgive one another, to forgive ourselves, to forgive our loved ones, to forgive you, Lord, to forgive those who have hurt us, and to bring a new day, yes, of love and peace and joy and celebration and identity in Christ. Yes. Lord, we ask that you pour your Spirit out upon us, and we call out for your glory. Lord, we ask you to show us your glory. Show, yes, the nations, yes, your glory. Show the hurting people of the world your glory. Show the ones who are persecuting and who are hurting and who are just holding on to old wounds, Lord, show them your glory. We are believing for these Saul to Paul transformations, yes, transfiguration of hearts, transfiguration of minds, renewals of our actions and our deeds and our words, Lord. We are asking for just this fresh outpouring of your goodness and your mercy and your tenderness upon the nations and, yes, upon those that, yes, we carry dear in our hearts, Lord, all in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank, amen, you, Lord.